Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's Monday, the 16th of September, 2013. Hope you had a great weekend. Today is Mexican Independence Day. Viva Mexico to all our Mexican friends. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's a very busy news Monday. We're going to get things rolling with the Monday Political Face-Off, showcasing one of our teams of commentators. Today it's the team of John Munger and Vince Urbago. 30 minutes past the hour, our latest edition of the Arizona Water Quarterly. David Modier will join us. He's the general manager of the Central Arizona Project. And we'll close out the show with Joanna Frew. Joanna has written a book called A Short Story About a Big Healing, which chronicles her 10-year odyssey of healing from breast cancer. If you have a comment or question, we ask you and invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. And we also invite you to follow us on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster. Real easy to find on Facebook. And become a friend. We'd appreciate it. It's time for our Monday Political Face-Off. With us, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. Vince Urbago, also a Tucson attorney, Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010. The Monday Political Face-Off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John and Vince, did you both have a great weekend?
Wonderful weekend. You both did.
Had a great weekend with the family.
Accomplished a lot, and it's always nice to take a
I didn't accomplish anything.
Oh, you didn't? Well, we did. Actually, we got flu shots, believe it or not, already that time. So we did accomplish something. John and Vince, I know that you join me. Our thoughts with the victims and families of today's shooting at the Navy shipyard in Washington, D.C., the latest information, dozen dead. There were three gunmen, apparently, one of the three gunmen dead, and John and Vince were still, everyone's trying to piece this together. We don't know, and of course the big question would be about motive.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a employment-based shooting. Otherwise, you know, there would be normally just one person who went crazy. This sounds like a planned attack, and of course in the context of these times, I would guess, pure guess, that it's a terrorist act. It's a terrible thing. We're at war, and people need to recognize that we are at war.
Vince?
Yeah, my thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and the victims' families as well. It is early. We'll see what happened. The context does suggest something unusual.
With three shooters.
You know, we're not sure what kind of whether
with a disgruntled person, it's usually like one person.
Correct. And we're not, I mean, if in fact there's three shooters, I mean, sometimes the facts aren't even solid yet.
True.
I know, for example, recently, about a month and a half ago, they thought there was a man walking around Davis-Monthan with a rifle and then locked it down and ultimately didn't pan out. So it may be that there was one shooter and these other two people were military officers. I just don't know enough yet.
We don't know.
So we're not sure. And if it is any sort of terrorism, you know, what kind? Is it domestic terrorists? You know, is it people from external to the United States? All that will be sorted out.
I guarantee you one thing, that the mainstream media will try and blame it on the Tea Party.
Oh, here we go again. Let's get started.
Well, anyway, that's a huge national story, John and Vince, and there's also a very big story developing locally, and it's a major development in the Rosemont Mine controversy. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line, a gentleman who knows very much about the Rosemont situation, and he's one of our regular contributors on our Friday roundtable, is Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, and Sahrita Sun. Dan, what's happened?
Well, about an hour ago, we got some good news for opponents of the Rosemont Mine, and it basically, the decision gives them another shot at stating their case. In short, the U.S. Forest Service says it's going to release its final environmental impact statement in November. Now, that date is important. If that report had been released before September 27th, it would have fallen under old federal regulations that in essence would not have allowed any more public discussion. But because the report now will be released after September 27th, new rules are in effect that allow people who have already weighed in against the mine to file an objection and to get a hearing on their objection. So this means that we probably will not have a final answer on Rosemont for 3 or 4 months after the EIS is delivered in November. It pushes it back a little bit, but it allows for more public discussion. And I just got off the phone with Coronado National Forest Supervisor Jim Upchurch. He likes the fact that there's going to be an opportunity for the public to weigh in yet again. But again, this is not new people weighing in. It's people who already have put their objections forward, and now they're basically going to get a hearing. So that's what's happened. So this is a real big deal. People thought that the Forest Service would beat that September 27th deadline, but Jim told me it just simply was not going to happen. There was just too much to get accomplished.
John and Vince, want to ask Dan a question while we have him?
Yeah, Dan, I'd be curious to know, if you know, how many people had previously, presented their objections. You know, what kind of pool of potential objectors are we looking at that might, sort of raise their voices later on in the process?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but it's definitely in the hundreds. But there is a time limitation on this. So there's a 45-day period that people can go in, and I think the Forest Service can extend that by a month if they wanted to. But we're talking about not only individuals, but, you know, it could be tribes, it could be municipalities, it could be individuals or groups. But so we're talking a lot of people here. But again, remember that even under the old rules, there was still going to be a process during which a lot of things still needed to get done. So it's not like this is going to be pushing off the decision on Rosemont, you know, several months that we wouldn't have been facing anyway. It is a little bit longer, but not that much more. But yeah, we're talking a lot of people, though, potentially could go before this hearing officer to state their case.
Okay, Dan Scheer, thank you for giving us the very latest. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Bill.
Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and I'm sure that's not good news for the people with Rosemont, because they were really hoping, John Munger, to get kind of a speedy conclusion to this.
Well, they were, but I think Dan hit it correctly that there are other things left to do anyway, and this time, this additional time from what Dan says would have been necessary to use for other review purposes as well. So it may not actually increase the time for the final approval and operations of the Rosemont mine.
You know, my take on it is that even though there were other things to get done, this appears, just based on what I've heard and not being involved in this Forest Service process myself, I have represented opponents of the mining project and am still doing that. But it seems to be a major blow, because if I understood what Dan to the mine and their project, because if I understood what Dan was saying is that when they released this report in November, then there are 45 days within which folks that have already objected can then raise new objections and seek a hearing. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that 45-day period in which that's just the period in time which you're filing your request for a hearing, and then those hearings are going to be if that's why I was curious as to how many people had objected and what kind of numbers are we talking about here, because this is going to really significantly push back the what they call administrative litigation will occur well into 2014. And which means you're not going to get final decisions till probably mid to late 2014, which is significant for Rosemont, because they had to really take some unusual moves recently and borrow money from shareholders, officers, excuse me. They were like private loans from officers to keep it afloat. So this is not good news on the financing front of the operation, which was sort of reaching for that extra hand to help them keep it going with those loans.
This is so sad for Tucson. We have our public officials killing one project after another. They've killed the Grand Canyon University, which was going to have 10,000 students and thousands of professors. Would have resulted in restaurants and all kinds of service companies in that area, which would have created jobs in that area and in the El Rio project. And now we have people just desperately trying to kill another 750 high-paying mining jobs. And we wonder why Tucson is struggling so much. This is very, very sad, and it's led largely by our public officials who are opposing these two projects and many more. I just feel very sorry for Tucson and sorry for the people that don't have jobs here. It's amazing to me that the people that are largely objecting to all this have their jobs, and they're largely government jobs. So we have the objectors who don't care about anybody else because they already have their job. And it's really too bad.
You know, let me just weigh in on this. Rather than taking this negative view and trying to cast such a wide net to everything and just blame the public officials, this is the wrong mine at the wrong place at the wrong time. And John's got it 100% wrong. The business community down in that area where they're proposing to put this mine, if you look at those little communities down, they are overwhelmingly have been coming out against it. The community itself is against it. Over 90,000 people in the area are against it. And in fact, John's right that the public officials here in southern Arizona have been against it. And for good reason. What you're giving up with in terms of our natural resources, in terms of the long-term damage, in terms of the limited economic sliver of jobs compared to what that sort of value that we get in terms of other economic benefits and the long-term damage that we'd be done, it's the wrong way of looking at it. And this other issue of GCU and Grand Canyon, we can spend a whole other half of the show if you want to talk about that. That's a false premise. They were never going to come to Tucson. They were putting feelers out. Mesa was always you look at the opinion piece that was done by Mark Evans recently in
Citizen.
It was a great piece. We were never really in the real hunt for that, and people are just using it as a flag to wave around and sort of bash Tucson. Tucson is moving forward. I disagree with them. There's been $800 million of investment along the streetcar lines. You see that private investment going up. Tucson's moving forward, and we got to stop this saying no to Tucson. Everything is bad. It's not the case. We are moving forward.
Well, let me just give you an idea. Last year, Phoenix created 78,000 jobs. They're four times larger than we are. Phoenix created 78,000 jobs. Tucson created 840 jobs. And don't tell me Tucson's doing great. Tucson is struggling. And you guys can make one excuse after another why some kind of job isn't good enough or some kind of business isn't good enough. But it's businesses that create the jobs. And I really object to this constant negative attitude about anybody who wants to create a job. You talk about me painting a broad brush.
I'm not against jobs. You're totally misstating what I just said.
The broad brush is that consistently the leadership in Tucson has tried to kill anybody who wanted to come here to create jobs.
We're going to take a break right here. We can continue with this, and we will on the Monday political face-off with John Munger and Vince Rabago right after this break.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
On the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We always recommend Moe's. If you have any kind of framing needs, they will take care of it, give it really the right touch. And of course, Moe will come out and personally measure everything, and they'll hang the product as well. So Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, and check them out, moesgallery.com, and they're also on Facebook. Vince Robago and John Munger with me on our Monday political face-off. Late last week, a Maricopa County Superior Judge refused to block the dramatically higher cap on money from private donors and political action committees to candidate campaigns. Candidates for office now can take up to $4,000 from individuals and PACs every 2 years. That is up from $440 for legislative contenders and $912 for those running for statewide office. Vince, do you think this is a good thing, or do you agree with the chairman of the Citizens Clean Elections Commission that he believes unless this is overturned, it will reduce the number of candidates willing to reject private money to accept public funds?
I do agree with the chairman of the commission. It's going to reduce candidates that are going to use the process, I believe, ultimately. And John can speak to this because I think both of us, I think you were Clean Elections originally.
No,
John?
I wasn't.
Never Clean. Okay. Well, I did Clean Elections when I was running. And those limits do make a difference in terms of what candidates are looking at in terms of, for example, if I'm going to run and I don't have a bunch of rich corporate friends, Clean Elections potentially is a viable way to go, at least in the context of state legislative districts. But now if a state legislator candidate now has much higher limits, up to what, $4,000? So if one person,
I think that's for statewide, Bill. I don't think that's for legislative seats.
I would think it is, because it went up from $400. $400 was the limit for any individual contribution, John. Yeah. So now any individual can give up to that full amount.
I'm talking about for a legislative race.
Correct.
I think it was $440 for legislative contenders. They now can it goes up to $4,000.
Even statewide races were capped at $440. So the limit was the same whether you were running for a state legislative seat or for a statewide race. And now the limits have been blown up to $4,000. So if you hang out at you're a wealthy individual and have a bunch of wealthy friends, you can have your campaign up and rolling. With calling, 10 of your best friends, and boom, you're going. Whereas somebody who's, your average Joe who wants to participate in the process, has good ideas, is involved maybe in nonprofits or some government thing, or maybe even in the private sector, a small businessman, but not a very wealthy person, they aren't going to be able to compete with that sort of fundraising ability for someone who has the ability to raise those funds. So I think it is going to reduce participation. I think this is a boon to the rich, those who have rich friends, ultimately at the end of the day. And I think, the trial is still going to go forward. This issue was whether or not a temporary restraining order was going to stop these limits.
So it's probably go to the Supreme
it's
Court.
There's still going to be a trial. But at the end of the day, I don't see how you can't conclude that this does not undermine Clean Elections program.
Well, I think you're right that we will see fewer people running with Clean Elections. But let me give you the other side of the story, because I ran a statewide race for governor running with private donations. I was limited to a donation of $840. And I was running against Clean Election candidates who were getting state money. For starters, they got $770,000 from day one out of the state purse. And then once I hit if I could raise $770,000, every extra dollar I raised, they got a match from that for the state. So the harder I worked to raise money from my people, they would get a dollar for dollar match.
Amount.
Now, if I was running against three of them, they would each get a dollar match. So what happened was we were not even able to reach $770,000 in our campaign because you're starting with such small contributions, $830. You got to get 1,000 people to max out, which is impossible. And so I was running against people who were running on the state ticket, and they did the Clean Elections. They did nothing, and they got more money than I was able to raise. And then they got to match anything I raised over that. That is absurd, and that's why Clean Elections is not a good thing. Now the matching has gone away. People can still run clean if they want for a statewide office to step out of the chute. They get $770,000 from day one.
And but the matching part is gone?
Let me correct the record, because I did run clean in a statewide race, so I was on the same footing as John. You do not get money right out the gate. First of all, you have to bring in your qualifying contributions. And so that takes a good chunk of time to bring in all of those qualifying $5 contributions. You're allowed to raise up to $40,000 from $140 a pop contributors. And so you can raise up to about $40,000. So if you can raise that fast, you have maybe $40,000 to spend. But you don't get that big check till the end. And I know, because that stung me, because by the time we finally got all of our qualifying contributions, then we got approximately $175,000.
That was for your race.
Correct. And I know there's more in the gubernatorial race.
It was 770.
But they didn't get that. You don't get that just coming out the gate. By signing a piece of paper, here's a $775,000
well,
check. That's not how it works.
If you think it's hard for you to raise $5 contributions.
Hey, I don't disagree with
try
you,
try raising $840.
I don't disagree.
Everybody has
raising
to qualify.
Raising money's hard.
But once
that.
You raise a few hundred $5 contributions, which is not hard to do, especially if you got the unions and sit them down in a union room. Everybody gives you $5, which is the way it works in your party. Then you're done, and you're in the race, and you'll get a check.
Thanks, gentlemen.
You got the wrong news, John.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, conveniently located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back on the Monday edition of The Buckmaster Show. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police say at least 12 people have died in the shootings today at the Washington Navy Yard. One gunman is dead. Police now say a man who was seen in a military-style outfit and had been sought in connection with the shooting rampage has been identified and is not a suspect. That apparently leaves one other person police are still looking for. The police chief says there's no indication of a possible motive at this time. Egyptian security forces have stormed a town hall south of Cairo. It had been held for more than 2 months by militants loyal to the ousted Islamist president, Mohamed Morsi. President Obama is warning congressional Republicans. He says he does not want them to create another economic crisis. On Wall Street, the Dow up 115, the Nasdaq down 5 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just
packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. Once a quarter here on Buckmaster, we focus on one of Arizona's most important, if not the most important resource, water. Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is David Modere. David is former head of Tucson Water. He's general manager of the Central Arizona Project based in Phoenix. David, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and good to hear you, and good to be back on your show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to have you on the program, and we'd love to get an update. We've spoken about the Navajo Generating Station and the controversy that's been swirling around it up in northern Arizona. Of course, that's the power plant, David, that provides more than 90% of CAP's power. What's the latest news on that right now?
Well, Bill, we were able to work out a compromise agreement amongst a variety of parties as an alternative to the EPA's published final rule for the Navajo Generating Station. It was very important for us to be able to work through some major groups and get everyone on board with a proposal, because I believe sincerely without our being able to accomplish that, that the time frames presented by the EPA and their proposed final rule, even though they were extended over their normal process, would not have provided sufficient time for the owners and others to work through the complications and the challenges that were being presented to them, and there was a strong, strong likelihood that plant would close. So the small group, or called the Technical Working Group, composed of CAP, Salt River Project, Navajo Nation, Gila River Indian Community, Department of the Interior, you know, were able to come together on a wide variety of issues that will now be presented to the EPA as called a better than BART process. In other words, the alternative to this has to be able to provide a better control of emissions than was proposed by the EPA in their original proposal, and we believe this meets that criteria. One of the key elements is the fact that one of the three power-producing generating units will be shut down in the year 2020, and largely due to the effect of both Nevada Energy and Los Angeles Department of Water and Power notifying the owners that they intended to no longer purchase power from Navajo Generating Station or be part of the ownership group going forward past the end of the year in 2019. And so this afforded us this ability to do this. It is better than the EPA's requirements. It also keeps our cost as moderate as possible over the years and delays, and perhaps even may never see the need to install the expensive pollution control equipment until at least the year 2030.
So this is really good news for the users of the CAP, and I guess the EPA is still taking comments on that. Is that correct, David?
Well, we believe it definitely is the best thing for our water users and the diverse group of stakeholders that we have. The EPA has yet to publish the rule for public comment, although they have indicated that they will be accepting any comments on the technical working group proposal at this time. It is our understanding that there is a process that has to go be carried out before it can actually be published in the National Register, and a part of that includes going through the Office of Management and Budget, and we believe it will be published by the EPA soon. The current comment period ends on October 4th, but we have been notified that the EPA does expect to issue an extended comment period sometime later this week or the first part of next week. So the public will continue to have a more extended period of time to provide input into, and we hope they would urge the EPA to give full consideration to this alternative proposal.
And people can visit CentralArizonaProject.com. David Modier is with us. David is the general manager of the Central Arizona Project. A lot of our listeners, David, have been hearing about the federal government tightening the screws on the overtaxed Colorado River, announcing that it will cut water releases from Lake Powell to Lake Mead for the first time ever starting in October. How is this going to affect the CAP?
Well, I think the immediate effect is not substantial. The problem is that reducing the flows from Lake Powell to Lake Mead means there's going to be a larger withdrawal of water out of Lake Mead next year than would have occurred if it had been a normal amount of flow to from Lake Powell to Lake Mead. That exacerbates the probability of a shortage being declared in the next several years. In fact, the probability is probably 50-50 that we'll reach the levels that require a shortage in late 2015, and then a shortage would be declared for 2016, unless, and we can all hope the best we can, that we get as good a winter as a summer that we're having now.
Well, I wanted to ask you about all this record flooding. Areas like Boulder, David Modier, as you know, Boulder normally gets 2 inches of rain. They've had 14 to 15 inches in September. I'm just curious, is that going to impact the watershed at all?
Well, we don't know yet. I haven't seen any report from the Bureau of Reclamation as to which side of the watershed all of the rain fell on. Boulder is outside the Colorado River watershed, as are some of the eastern Colorado areas that had some of the most major flooding. It's hard for me to believe that there wasn't at least some spillover into the western slope of that tremendous amount of rainfall. A good thing that has been going on this summer is that while July was below normal for flows in the Colorado, August has been above normal with rainfall, and there's been good summer rains with the monsoons from Arizona up through Colorado. So we're hopeful there'll be some positive impact from all these rains, although it's tragic what has occurred in the eastern watershed area. But we hope that this kind of a pattern will extend on into the winter, and we'll get good winter snowpack so that we can hopefully delay the onset of any shortage.
And New Mexico, of course, along the Rio Grande, they've been having record droughts, but now the a lot of flooding in that area. Hopefully that will be helping to diminish the drought here in the Southwest. David, getting back to the Lake Powell situation, are we prepared if we have to have, if there is a shortage declared on the Colorado River, what's the game plan for CAP?
Well, the first stage of a shortage requires us to reduce our take off the river by 320,000 acre-foot of water. The almost all of that water will come out of agriculture or water that is being stored for the Arizona Water Bank or for the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District. Cities and towns and industries won't see any impact from the first stages of this drought and the shortage that would be declared. We've also have a pretty good hedge against drought into the subsequent stage if that should unfortunately happen. We've probably banked underground as a state close to 8 million acre-foot of water that can be withdrawn to substitute for Colorado River water that has been lost because of the shortage. So we're in good shape. I think a lot of the real problems could come in a third stage of a shortage and the prospects for going further than that, because a state like Nevada has serious issues when lake levels get to a certain point where they begin to have serious water quality problems, and also they run into the lack of being able to have their intakes low enough to take the full amount of water needs. And that will create problems for all the states.
Lake Mead, going into mid-August, was at about 47% full. Lake Powell about 45%. I wonder if that's gone up a little bit. I know they had pretty good rains in Clark County and southern Nevada as well in late August, so maybe that's gone up a little bit.
Bill, it has. It has raised Lake Mead. The flow of water from tributaries into Lake Mead have risen the lake several feet. So it hasn't, at least it hasn't lost water this summer. And so the rains are having a positive effect in a wide range of land area. I just, really, for all of us, we hope it continues this pattern for another 6 months.
Yeah, we do indeed. David Modier, thank you very much. We always enjoy hearing from you and getting an update on what I consider to be our most precious resource, water, here in Arizona. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much, Bill. Pleasure to be with you.
Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights under the glowing glass of brilliant light. Starting Saturday, September 28th, a first-time-ever five-straight Saturday night premiere. An exciting family adventure with activities that promote more curiosity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admissions. Kids 12 and under, also free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up!
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza!
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake!
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway for a weekend or longer, just three and a half hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete list of the great places to stay. And they have their 9th annual Gila River Festival. That's this weekend. Great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila Guesthouse. You can find out more, again, at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, how do you heal yourself? Tucson writer Joanna Fru says the key is by healing the heart. Joanna is the author of a book titled A Short Story About a Big Healing, an inspiring book about her 10-year odyssey of healing. Joining me in studio is Joanna Fru, who is the author of a photo book titled The Glamour of Being Real. Joanna, nice to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Tell me about the genesis of this book, A Short Story About a Big Healing.
Well, near the beginning of 2012, I don't remember exactly when, I knew that I was going to publish a book about healing and my own story about healing. And I'm no more ill than most people. Indeed, I'm healthier than most people. I knew it would be my second self-published book. The Glamour of Being Real is the first one, and it's, I think, 209 aphorisms and some beautiful photos.
The photos are absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much. The photographer, Frances Murray, who lives here in Tucson, did the photos, and she and I have been really good friends since the 80s. And, so we've collaborated on various things, and she's known for well known for her nudes, and there are some sort of nudes.
Did she do the cover photo for a short story?
Oh, absolutely. She did. She did all the photos.
Really nice.
Gosh,
you want to describe for our listeners, since this is radio, what I'm looking at here.
And then I'll get back to the genesis of the book. The cover is me, and I look very peaceful and at repose, and I have covering like waist to knees, and then sort of floating out from one arm and shoulder above my head, and I am laying on a chaise. But what I'm wearing is this extraordinarily gorgeous pink chiffon fabric. It's actually a dress and a little cape, but you can't tell from there. And my upper body is exposed. My lower legs are exposed also, and they're these beautiful, glamorous, pewter-colored Mary Janes that I'm wearing. And then, but on top, what you see is, oh, there's an amazing necklace also, and my eyes are closed. And then what you see is somebody who has had a bilateral mastectomy with no reconstruction. So this is an amazing, beautiful photo, and I'm so glad you responded to
it
in
is.
That way.
It's a beautiful photograph. Now, getting back to your
story. How this happened. So, anyway, this is going to be my second self-published book. My other books have all been published by academic presses. So, anyway, I wanted it to be about healing. And then, in May of that year, 2012, I was diagnosed with a cancer in each breast. And then I had a bilateral mastectomy on June 28th, 2012. And then there was chemotherapy treatment from August into October of last year as well. And originally, when I thought of the idea about a healing, and I realized it'd be healing of the heart and et cetera, I wasn't going to include the breast cancer story or experience. And then I thought, well, you know, you gotta have it in there. Yeah. So anyway, that's the genesis of the story in the book.
You had to include that. And that, I'm glad you did include it, because that's all part of right healing. You look fantastic.
Thank you so much. I feel great.
Getting back before the diagnosis, what were you doing
to heal yourself that you feel? What was the key?
Oh, I think before the diagnosis even, I've been interested in health and healing since my 20s, and I'm 65 now. And I was interested in herbs in my 20s, got interested in yoga, all kinds of aspects of yoga. I see that as a healing kind of practice. I'm a scholar, so I was interested in studying yogic texts as well. And what have I done to heal? You know, to heal the heart, to become more loving. I mean, I can talk about sort of practical external things, mm-hmm. Like I just was doing, but yoga also is very internal. And so, you know, talking to a therapist, mm-hmm. very conscientiously and consciously becoming a more loving person, a more compassionate person. And through the breast cancer experience, that just grew exponentially. That was an extraordinary transformation for me also.
Joanna Fru mm-hmm. is talking with us here on the Buckmaster Show, and we're talking about her book. The book is A Short Story About a Big Healing. Being so upfront with your breast cancer and the cover showing that, you know, mm-hmm. you have nothing to hide and what it is, it is what it is what I'm trying to say.
It was is and it was.
Yeah, yeah. How important was that in the healing? Just being open about all
That's
of this.
That's a great question,
and not
Bill.
Hiding all this stuff.
It's really important. I call it, it was a breast cancer experience. And, well, I'll just say something about how Francis and I wanted to deal with the photos. We wanted to be real. This is what is real. This is what is here. And the thing is, when one hides anything, I mean, when one hides something that important, I think you obscure your heart. And it's a loss of soul in some way. And granted, anything... whether it's being heart sick, as we say, or whether it's having a disease or going through a disease experience, it's so easy to obscure oneself and to move into absolute terror or various terrors or fears about what the future is going to be. And so we hide. And we need to come out, and especially, you know, breast cancer is unfortunately so prevalent in this society now that it's very, very helpful for people to see this is what it looks like. And granted, everybody's does not look the same. My mm-hmm. looks, it's very mm-hmm. particular to mm-hmm. me, and I had an extraordinary surgeon also who I think is a great esthetician as well as, you know, a great yeah. surgeon. But anyway, we... I'm going around and around with your question.
I'll kind of summarize this for you.
Sure.
What advice do you have for women who are facing these horrible decisions that they must make if they have had that diagnosis with breast cancer? What words could you give to these people?
Please? I would say one of the absolutely most important things is trust. You absolutely need to intuitively trust yourself, because that has to do with the choices that people will make, that you will make. It has to do with the choices of who your surgeons are, who's going to give you treatment, other things, various integrative therapies that you might do. And I certainly am into those as well, especially acupuncture. And the thing is, if you don't trust yourself, you can't trust anybody else. So trust is a really, really basic thing. And sometimes you have to go through a lot of terror in order to trust yourself and not be swayed by what other people say, but to really do what you know is right for you.
Joanna Fru, thank you very much. And we want to tell people about the event that you have coming up, Antigone Books, one of our local bookstores, one of the few survivors out there, 411 North 4th Avenue at Antigone. Joanna Fru, this Friday evening at 7, Joanna will be discussing and answering questions about her book titled A Short Story About a Big Healing. And I'm sure you look forward to speaking with everyone at that event on Friday.
I sure do.
Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Where are these books available, by the way?
They're available.
The Glamour of Being Real and The Short Story About Big Healing.
They're available at Antigone Books. That's okay. The easiest place to get them. And you can get them online.
Okay, Joanna, thank you very much.
Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan Water. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests here on the Buckmaster Show are given a bottle of Culligan water, and we thank Culligan for being a big supporter of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be speaking with our contributor from Washington, D.C. Terry Bracey will be telling us about the latest on a proposed government shutdown. We'll also have Shelley Fishman with our Shelley will have our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, Certified Financial Planner. We'll have our Cox Business Technology segment, and we'll have a newsmaker interview with Crystal Foster, governing board member from TUSD. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 5, right here in this very studio, John C. Scott, the Dean of Local Talk on AM 1030, KVOI The Voice. Then tomorrow morning, again here on KVOI, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon. We'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.